So today's daf is daf lamed aleph. We're meeting from the Mishnah Halacha Hey. Hamocher zeitav le'etzim. If someone sells his olive tree and is doing so for its wood, meaning the person's buying the tree for the wood. Now you can cut the wood of a tree. Again, the laws of Baal Tashkent of not cutting down a fruit tree, there are circumstances where you can cut down the tree. For example, the value of the wood is more than the fruit. There are certainly situations where you can. But he sold it. Va'asu pachot mirevi'it le'seah, harei ze le'bal ha'zeitim. If it ends up, he didn't cut it, ends up producing some olives, then, but it's not really producing such, let's call it good olives. In other words, for a seah of olives, you're only going to get less than a revit of oil. Then we say, then it's they're almost insignificant. And then the Baal ha'etzim, meaning the olive tree, the person who bought the olive tree, will get it. Okay, sorry, this is Australian. Okay, asur revit l'seah. If, however, it produces a lot of oil still, or more than a revit for the seah of olives, then we've got it says Ze omer zeiti. One says that my olive tree is what produced it. The Ze omer, what are you talking about? It's still planted in my land, and therefore my land contributed to it, and therefore it should be mine. So in that situation, in other words, it's still drawing the nutrients from my land and everything from my land, the water from my land. So therefore, you only bought it for the wood. So therefore, the producer's fruit should be mine. So the Mishnah says in that situation, yachalokhu, they would divide it. Okay, it's not a suffix situation. So they both have contributions. Similarly, in shatafa nar zeitav, let's say a tsunami of some sort of flood went through someone's field, and it took his tree and plant and moved it to his friend's field. And then olives started growing. One says, well, it was my tree that's producing this fruit. And the person whose land this tree moved into said, Gidila. What are you talking about? It's drawing nutrients from my land, therefore should the fruit should be mine. In that situation, we say Yachaloku. Okay, so there's what to talk about in this Mishnah. So Hamocher Zeit, even though it's a short Gemara, Hamocher Zeitav Le'etzim, Rebbe Yochanan Baye Hirtibu Mahen. So the Mishnah seems to be discussing if it should produce olives. What happens if it produced here? Tivul sounds to be according to my fool. There seems to be like immature olives. What do we say then? And according to the Ritvaz here, we like it's not, in other words, it wasn't fully ripened. And it seems to be according to the Ritvaz that it's the answer's left. Sorry, the question's left as a question. We don't really know. Now, Rav Huna Amar, the case where the tree has been swept away by these waters and ended up in somebody else's field, that's b'sheshatfan b'gushehen. That's when. It's not the tree on its own was swept across. It's that there was almost like a landslide, and the clod of earth within the tree was growing also moved across. The importance of that is you're not going to run into the problems of Orla. Because if a tree is pulled out of the ground and replanted elsewhere, then you're going to run into the problems of Orla. If, however, the whole clod of earth in which it was growing came with it, then you're not going to run into the problems of Orla. You can start enjoying from the fruit. Now, what? So, therefore, what? Like, what are we doing this? So that's why the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yossi says, "Ama b'shnei orla b'nehem." Really, that the discussion, this din is just is when during the shnei orla, and not after that. So to understand what this means, I'll show you now the Marafulda's long piece, but we'll go through it. It says, "Hakak." This is b'sheshavan b'gushehem. He says, "Hakakash gam ken nishtaf." So the karka with it, with the olives, moved into the other field, and therefore, and the tree could have survived with the amount of earth that went with it. That's the point. Okay? Aval, without that, in other words, without the earth that came, since the pshit, it's obvious, shakola balakarka. Then, if it didn't, it was just a tree on its own, and the tree moved across to another person's field, and then started growing, it seems to be it's partial according to this understanding of the Gemara. So you'll see there's another opinion soon, that it were that the all olives would go to the Balakarka. Why? Because before you'd be able to produce any olives that are edible, or you'll be able to eat, I should say, from it, you'd have to wait 3 years of Orla. That olive squatting on my tree, squatting on my land, had it not been there, I wouldn't be able to plant something. And by the same time, duration that these olives are growing, I could have planted my own olive tree and grown and produced these olives. So therefore, it seems that if it didn't come with the clod of earth, it's pshita that all the olives would go to the balakarka, meaning the new home of this olive tree. Avalo il v'gushehem. Now, in this situation, because it came along with the gush, yachalomar, the person who owned the tree before it was swept away, says, "In atata, had you planted, lo yita ochel, you wouldn't be able to in this location. You wouldn't be able to eat anything now. Hashed al yedei gushim shili, because my clod of earth went with it. That's why you can eat. And that's what the discussion seems to be. It says Kenatan, but orla ilan shnei kavaselimo yachol lichiot. If it can continue to live with that clod of earth, then it's patur from orla. So again, just explaining outside, it seems to be that the whole discussion is only when it goes with Gush Ahem in the first 3 years. Well, I'll get to the first 3 years in a minute. If it goes with Gush Ahem, because in that situation, we say that, well, you can look at the contributions of both parties. Let's put it that way. Okay? It's because of my earth that came along with it, that's land in your land, that you're able to, we can actually enjoy from these the olives that grow on this tree. However, if it didn't come with a Gush, then you'd have to wait three, it would be Asur Ba'ola, you have to wait 3 years. And the Balakar can say, had the tree not been there, I'd be able to plant my own tree in that three period and grow my own olives. So therefore, it would all go to the Balakarka. Now, what's not clear is the next point. So that's why Rabbi Yossi Ban Chinna says, B'shnei Orla Be'nehem. So I'll continue the Marafolda. He says, Hu nami svir l'shineku b'kosh. And he also holds the same thing. There's no machloket there. Ela de mefaresh yesh ben balasadeh o ben azaitim, Shnei Orla b'shnat Orla. In other words, he says the whole, yes, it's going with its gush. But when do we say they have to split it? It's only in those first 3 years. As that's when they're dividing it. Aval after the 3 year period, then anything growing would go to the balakarka for the same reason we says the amalei inat. Had I planted ana lachar shoshim, I would be able to eat. In other words, to make it clear, even though it's going with its gush, with a clod of earth, it's only in the first 3 years do we say that, okay, the original owner of the tree and now the owner of this land that it's in would split the produce, the olives that are grown off it, but after that it'll go to the Balakarka. Now, why is it important for him to tell us this? Because there's another opinion in the Babli, he points out, because he said the Babli, that the whole debate, meaning, so the whole not debate, when we divide, it is after the 3 years. But in the first 3 years, it'll go to the person with the tree, who owns a tree. Because if it wasn't my tree and the land that went with it, you could say that you wouldn't be able to get anything, so that's all mine anyway. Right? So and because there's two ways to understand this Mishnah, that's why Rav Huna can't lop your reshta varav, and it's a bit vague what Rav Huna says, because it says, all he says is it came across with its clod of earth. Because it could mashma either way. That's why Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Chanina had to come and say Kalishna Batra to Hatam, like the conclusion of the Bavli, that when did they divide it? In the first 3 years, but after the first 3 years, then that they don't go to the Balakarka. That's, in other words, just to explain the flow of the Gemara, Rav Huna just says, oh, the Mishnah is talking about when it comes with the clod of earth, otherwise nothing to talk about. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina comes to Mefarish that we're still only, even when it comes to the clod of earth, it's only talked about in the first 3 years, because after 3 years, it goes to the Balakarka, meaning the new host, if you like, of this tree. Okay, yeah. Let's continue. Nesa Lachavav. Hamaskir bayit lachaver, if someone's renting a house to his friend, v'yamotek ha'shamim in the winter, ein yachol le'otzio min ha'chagat ha'pesach, he can't, now, importantly here, it seems to be he would rent it out stum. I'm adding a few little gaps of things here, meaning it was just, you can rent my house and it's a monthly thing. There wasn't a until such and such a date. So therefore, he can't kick him out during the winter time, minachagara Pesach, because then it's very difficult to find houses, it sounds like. In the summer, shloshim yom, it's 30 days. Now, the way we learn the Mishnah is that there are two ways to understand this. One is it has to be either, both really. It's not two ways, but there's two implications. One is you've got to give him 30 days notice, and your last chance to kick him out is giving him, starting that 30 day notice before the end of the summer. So the date, I think, if you look in the Pnei Mochi, it says Tetvav Be'elul. Okay. Ubekrachim, in the big cities, in big cities where it might be hard to find rentals, sounds like, then it doesn't matter, summer, winter, you've got to give him Shnemasar Chodesh. You've got to give him a year's notice so he can at least find a new place to live. Ubechanuyot, when it comes to shops, Achad Krachim, Achad Ayarot, it doesn't matter where these shops are, Shnemasar Chodesh, you've got to give him 12 months notice before you say, I'd like you to move out. Now, the reason for that is it seems to be these shops operate shops operate with online lines of credit. And the concern is if you don't give him enough time to start collecting his money and you kick him out too quickly, the people who effectively owe him money won't be able to know where to pay the money back. It ends up losing a lot of money. Okay. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Chanot shel nachtomim v'shel tzabaim shlosh shanim. If you're talking about a shop that is a bakery, or at Sabim is dyers, they seem to have very long times of credit. and therefore it would be 3 years. Let's continue. Well, that's one way to explain the Mishnah. That's how the both the Maharal Fulda and Pli Moshe explain it here. Okay, let's look at the Gemara. Hamaski bar lechaver, someone rents a house to his friend. Kol elu sha'amu shloshim yom v'shnei masar chodesh lo shirdu b'tocho shloshim v'shnei masar chodesh. Because when in the Mishnah, I already kind of explained in the one way, which is the way the Gemara here understands it. But he says, don't think that it means the rental period is 30 days in a year, but rather, in other words, lo shirdu b'tocho shloshim v'shnei masar chodesh ela shiodiu. We're talking about the notification warning time. Shiodiu kodem shloshim yom v'kodem shnei masar chodesh. Okay. The Gemara says, but if it's talking about if you're renting a beit habad, you can't kick him out, kol sha'a beit habad, meaning a press. During the pressing season, you can't kick him out halfway because that's what he's renting it for. Beit agat, the first is the olive press and this is the wine press. Beit agat, that's kol sha'at agat. Beit yotzra, im pachu b'shnei masar chodesh. When it comes to a pottery place, you can't have less than, again, the notification is 12 months, the time you've got to tell him before you want to kick him out. So Amrav Yossi Bimarim, when does this mean? So which is interesting here. The Marful just switches the gears around on this, so I'll show you it inside. He says, Bemed Varimarim, he says, why? Vizela Shonar Babli, the Parakes Waneshech, which is Ein Poskin ala Beitim Shiyotza Achiyasu. So this is referring to, if you remember, we said that you can't make an arrangement with a potter to provide you pottery and the like in the future based on a particular fixed price, unless he already has these bits in Shiliotza. This is the clay basically has clay at his disposal. Because that's like we always said, otherwise you can run into the problems of avak ribbit, which we discussed previously. Rabbi Yossi says, when's that the case? That's but afar lavan, if he's dealing with afar lavan. Aval afar shachor, if we're talking about this sand or the soil that he's using, which is black, then you can, because afar bisha ena zeh, yesh la zeh, akan. So the point that Marfal is making is that if he works with afar shachor, it's readily available. If it's afar lavan, it's not readily available. So he'd have to have at his disposal if you want to make that isker, that business arrangement. However, the Gemara says the far lab chashuvu because it's much more important. Ve'inu matzubim b'komo, it's very hard to find. Aval afar shachor matzubim b'komo. Ve'im ein laze yesh laze. If someone does one person, the other hands. Therefore, you can loan lelavot ze mize. You can borrow one from the other. Lechem nired agir safucha. Therefore, he says gir should be different. The med remembering b'afar lavan. That's what we're talking about. If the potter needs or operates with the far lavan. Aval var shachor, then konesiyotza gono misa, like you can kind of kick him out. And it says, oh, the fee, what I want to, but I don't know, and then he brings the Tosefta that sort of matches his gear, so then he deals with it. But what I want to do is drop down about six lines. And it says as follows, for kol hani da amri shescharo stam. Everything we're discussing, which is how I introduced it, is when the schira was done stam, meaning it's like a monthly fee, and there's no real end date until I've sort of give you notice. Aval, im iskiro lazman yaduwa, if I says the rental is for 6 months, a year, he gives a particular end date, kalazmano, as soon as the date ends, yachol otzio, you can kick him out, afilu be'emtza choreth, even in the middle of the winter, which we said before is a very hard time to find rentals. Because why? Because that's the date. Zeu. V'chen kadav ha-rosh, that's what he says, the rosh, v'zal al pi shaseh, he paskins based on this Yerushalmi. Okay. Let's continue. There's next the mission. It's halacha zayin. Hamaskir bayit lachaverov. Someone rents again a house to his friend. Hamaskir, the landlord, is chayev. He's obligated to provide the door, the nagar, the bolt. So delet nagar aman uman lock. We call the vashu masa uman. Anything that is sounds like you need a craftsman to take care. Okay. Certain responsibilities. Aval the vashu ainu masa uman. If something not a masa uman, then it's on the socher. Okay. So again, the one responsibility of the landlord and the tenant. Aval Tsugama has zevel. What about any zevel that is generated in the? Who does it go to? The balabite. So what are you talking about zevel? Zevel normally is manure and dung. So I'll just show you here. The Marfulda says that the zevel shall balabite, meaning it goes to the landlord. And Moki la Bavli, the Gemara in Bavli explains bechatzer hamaskir v'toreid atime alma. He were talking about where he rents a house and there's a courtyard in front of it. Okay. And it's one of these courtyards where you have these animals that seem to come through it, and it's not the animals of either the tenant or the landlord. These animals seem to come through the Torii d'Atim Alma and come and might relieve themselves on the way. The Stam Galalim, Mafkir Lubalim, and generally when an animal relieves itself as it's walking, the owner doesn't really care about it, so he's Mafkir. The Kanya Lechatzro, so we're now saying if it's in the Chatzir, that goes to the Balabait despite the fact the tenant is renting. Okay? That's what we're saying, at least in the Mishnah. Now, and Einat Lesocha, the Socha Ella. So all that he has is in terms of like product that comes to be somehow generated in the Chatzer, if you like, is that which is the comes out of the Tanur, the ashes and light from the oven or the stove. Okay, let's look at the Gemara a bit more. It says, Ha'maskir bait lechaverot, Hore Yitzchak bar chakola, mezuzah. Is Maase Yedei Uman. So exactly what a mezuzah is. We're not necessarily talking about the parchment, we're talking about the post itself. So that having the post is the responsibility of the Balabait. Some actually Mefarshim explains talking about the fact that we would carve out into the post, that carving that etch the carving out into the post in order to place the mezuzah in there. That's also on the maskil. Now that's I think Mefarshim explained here, the mezuzah. If I'm not mistaken. Okay, let's continue. This is Halacha Chet. Hamaskir Bait Lachaveru. Let's say someone rents a house to his friend for a year, and then it becomes a shanah u'beret, v'dibar shanah. Then who gets to benefit from it? It's our brother socher. The socher rented for a year; he gets to enjoy an extra month to be there. Hiskila lechodashim. If, however, it was rented for months, that was the duration. Nitabar shanah, nitabar the maskir. So, in other words, because he said you're renting for 12 months, even if it's shanah u'beret, well, it doesn't matter. 12 months is 12 months. However, maser b'tziporin. We've got a situation in Tzipori where a person rented this merchatz, mechaveru from his friends, b'shnemasar zahav l'shana. It was 12 gold for a year, midina zahav l'chodesh. And he also stipulated it was 12 dinar for a year and a dinar for each month. So we don't know what this means. Is it for 12 months now? Is it for a year? So how do we, which way do we cut it? Since it's like a safek, we have to explain why, in the case of safek, it would be the case because it's a bit not clear here yet. The day halacha that would divide it. Okay, reason why I say it's not so clear because in the case of a safek, why don't you say motzi mechavro? Why not rely chazaka? Why not all these other principles we use in the cases of doubt? But it seems to be yachloko. The Gemara is going to address that pretty much now. Hamaskir bar lechaverot. The Gemara says behechi.
What happened? Sorry, Rebbe.
Yeah.
What happens if we go back to the halacha and halacha vav? If you rent it for in the bimotak, you rent it in the also in the bimotak shamim, and you can't put get him out before Pesach. But now there's a shanat ibur.
Yeah, so if you remember, I read the Mara Fulda, who says that if it's time bound, you can kick him out. It ends, meaning if it was from the outset, it says it's 12 months. Even though 12 months ends in the middle of winter, then is that's it. He can send the tenant away. This is in the end of Dibur HaMakri, if you wanted to see it inside, of Bemed Vemarim. It's the one just before the Mishnah of Benagar. It's halfway. So the Chol Hani Da Amri. That's where you can see it inside. Okay? So the Gemara says, Vehechi. Im b'shaba alav b'sof hachodesh, gabalei kula. The Gemara said, what are we talking about in this case where it was an extra month or not? Like, if you're talking, if, in the case of a suffix, if they're coming to Beit Din after the tenant's been there for the extra Chodesh HaYibur, then it's already game over. There's nothing to talk about. V'im b'shaba alav b'rosh chodesh, in the beginning of the extra Chodesh HaYibur, Amrle poklach. Poklach, like, get out. He could kick him out. So just to explain, I'll explain the Gemara further. He says, "V'hechi im kishabam maskir la socher basof chodesh ibur at the end of the extra month. Gabi lekulo kvar gavalo a socher. He's already been there. Klo mashu kvar dara chodesh ibur. V'heyach echol a maskir lotzim. How can he keep, like what's v'heyach echol a maskir lotzim yado? V'chad mashmo babav le'be'edya. Meaning it's already obviously goes to the socher. He can't extract it from him. So and if it's in the beginning of the month, puklach is atenli." Can tell me, in other words, if it's a beginning of the Chodesh Ibur, and the maskir, the landlord, confronting the tenant, he can say, okay, pay me the extra amount or get out. Okay, in other words, we have this suffix. So if it's already passed Then the musk has been already in the house, had enjoyed the extra month. He can't extract any money from him. And if it's the beginning of the month, it's if you like the Bechezkat Balabait, and he can say, get out, 12 months is over, or give me my extra, because it's a Safek, it's Chazrag, or pay for the extra month. So therefore, Shmuel Amar Keni Manita to Beshaba'ala Be'emtza Chodesh. We're talking about where it's in the middle of the month, and that's why they're having the discussion. So because it's Ba Be'emtza Chodesh, the reason why we are Chloku means that the socher has enjoyed half the month, so he's got half, but the remaining half, if he wants to be there, is on the balabait, so effectively dividing it. That's why miyachloku. However, what's interesting is as follows: Rav Amar Dina de Ger. What's Dina de Ger? So I'll show you here Moshe has a different explanation, but Dina de Ger, the Marfulda says as follows. He says, in Perek Hazroa, in Chulin. Mishnah recently says ger ad shelo nitgayer patur. So we were talking, he's talking about the matnat kona. If he shechts animal before he converts, then he's exempt from giving the matnat kona of zera l'chaim b'keva. Mishnit gayer after he converts, then he is chayev. Obviously, if it's a safek, he's patur. Why? To ok ma'achazaka rishona. We go back to chazaka. V'achinami. According to his opinion, everything should go to the maskir. That's his position. As well, if I was there, I'm going to call the maskir. But mitam tafus, that we'll get to that tafus shown is the next thing. It's karev ila. So, in other words, what he's saying is this: basically, if I was there, why are we even splitting it? We should rely on a chazaka the whole way. The chazaka, it's the property of the maskir. So, the kula the maskir, you should say. Right, you can keep aiming halfway through. If he wants to be there, you should extract the funds. You've been an extra month. You should give me the gold coin. Okay, that is the way he explains it. In other words, as soon as we've got a chazaka, that wins, if you like, and there shouldn't be any achloku, if you like. However, what we've got, the Gemara then continues. This says as follows. It says, "Amar avla late da pashta al shita benanas du amar bita lashon achron et harishon." So to explain this, again, I'll show you the marfil. This seems to be like the simple way of understanding suga should be like benanas, because I'll explain it outside. There's a discussion. If someone says two conflicting things in a row, what do you go by? We've assumed in the Mishnah because he said 12 dinar for the year, a dinar l'chodesh, we've got the suffix. What do we do in this situation? Therefore, we said, okay, at least according to the first way to explain the Gemara, we are chaloku, we sort of divide it. However, according to Ben Nanas, he says, you go by lashon acharon. Whatever was said at the end is the defining factor. So, therefore, in our Mishnah, because he says, nizav dinar l'chodesh, that was the last thing he said, that should be the terms of the agreement. So therefore, if it's really dinar chodesh, you'd have to pay an extra month for this extra chodesh ibor if you wanted it. Okay, fine. Let's continue. Hamaskir bayt lechaver. If someone rents a house to his friend, v'nafal, and then it collapsed, chayv lemido acher. He has to provide him a house. He has to build it up. It says hayakatan lo yaseh gadol. If it's small, don't make it bigger. If it's gadol, you yaseh katan. Because in either situation, the socher can say, I was only willing to take on such and such a house. I can't do a bigger. I can't do a smaller. And that's what you have to provide me. Hayakat, then achad, if it was one, you can't provide him two. Yaseh shnayim, shnayim lo yaseh achad. That's the same, pretty much exactly the same as what he rented. Lo yefchot min achalonot, v'lo yesif aleihem. You can't add or subtract any windows. Eli midat shneima, unless you have agreement from both the socher and the maskir. Okay, Mara says hamaskir bayi lechaverot. Reish lakish shemo b'mameido agabav. Now, when do we say it has to mamash match? That is when it was rented, the maskir showed the socher all the dimensions of the house. If it collapsed, he has to provide him the house that he had shown him, because that was the, if you like, the agreement. However, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, the Omer lo bayt kazeh ha-maskir. Rabbi Yochanan says no, only if he stipulates and says, even if he wasn't present, meaning he was overseas and they did some sort of business arrangement, I would like to rent your house in such a location. Says afilo lo yimagabav, even once it. It's still ilu amar kaze. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is when do we say you have to mamash provide it? According to Rish Lakish is if he actually went there and he was shown all the dimensions. According to Rabbi Yochanan, as long as he was explained the bayt kaze, a house like such and such a house is what I do, and that's when you have to provide it. However, if he was just maskir a bayt stam, then that which is built doesn't have to be identical. Ella, the Gemara says, Ella, Ella, maskir bay lechavo bikesh lemoho. What if someone rented a house to his friend and suddenly he hit really bad times? And he desperately needs to sell, otherwise he's going to starve. So the Gemara says, Amrav imi lo al tal dat sheze yamut barav. In other words, it seems to be that we don't, part of any rental contract seems to be implicit that it's not going to be to the detriment of the landlord. If the landlord's going to starve to death, then he's allowed to sell it. Now, what about the rental agreement? So Rav Zira, Rav Hila, Trebeu Marin, they both say, Mikoma kom kanoilo, Ella du amar le shivke, de shari ad yemala in kalvasin didei. Which means that they are cholek, they argue Rimi, that says, yes, well, you can, if you like, sell, but the tenant must be able to stay there until he's, the time of his rental period that was agreed upon is actually completed. So Ata uvdu kamei Rav Nisi, there was an incident that came before Rav Nisi, v'lo kir kavil. He didn't accept, what did he not accept? He did not accept the position of Rezira of Hila, which is that if it's, that he can sell it, but it has to, if you like, the tenant's allowed to stay there for the extra period of time. So the Gemara says, Ma palig, so is he really cholik on that position? The Gemara says, no, Amri barte havu memashkena gabi chadromi, v'lo havelela mifrika. That it was a situation, it was an exceptional situation, Rav Nisi Paskind, if you like, not like Rav Zira and Rav Hila, where he allowed it to be sold and sold completely, because it was an incident where the person's daughter was taken as a mashkon, like a collateral. He needed to take her back from, she was, the way Marful explains it, that she was mushkanet etzel akum romi achad, a non-Jewish Roman of some sort, and he needed to redeem her or get her back from this Roman. That's why Rav Imi in this situation, Paskin like, sorry, Rav Imi, Rav Nasa in this situation, Paskin like Rav Imi. But in normal situation, normal circumstances, no, he would actually agree, if you like, with Rav Zera, Rav Hila, that it can be sold and the tenant will be able to stay till the end of his rental period, rental time. Okay, with that, we say, Hanurach Perak Hashoah Tapara, Dronach Perak Hashoah Tapara, Kadronach Perak Hashoah Tapara, and Mitzvah Shem will continue from the next Perak, the Perak Chi and Perak HaMakabel, next year. Kol Tov.